Good morning. I have just returned from discovering there was a leak under the kitchen sink. I noticed it because there was a trail of water running across the kitchen. Now I checked under there and I found a loose connection, so I tightened it and we'll hope that that takes care of it. Meanwhile, my socks are wet. Okay, so we're continuing our study of the nature of error, which I guess I just experienced. And we're going to delve into the original book, The Infinite Way, by Joel S. Goldsmith. And my copy is the little black book that was published in 1947 by Willing Publishers in San Gabriel, California. And I used to live in San Gabriel. All right, so we're going to cover The New Horizon, but before we do that, we're going to look at this chapter, Our Real Existence. Why are we going to look at this chapter? Well, because I was told to do so, and when looking it over, I discovered that this chapter tells us exactly what is needed to see through the illusion to reality. So let's start. Our real existence is as spirit. Some seekers may not understand what we mean by this. Now, they took that line out in the newest version. The editors decided to take that line out, and I think they should have left it in. Our real existence is as spirit, and some seekers may not understand what we mean by this. This is true. Only in the degree that we perceive our real existence as spirit do we drop the false sense of life as material. So only in the degree that you can perceive, first in your meditation, that spirit is what I am, in that degree will you drop the mortal sense of existence. Then we see that the structural life of man, animal, and plant is but the false sense of existence, that our concern for the so-called necessities of material living has been unnecessary. That though the beauties we behold all hint at God's creation, they are not that spiritual and perfect creation. That the sick, aging, dying appearances are not at all a part of real life. Then only do we begin to catch glimpses of eternal spiritual existence, untouched by material conditions or mortal thoughts. As we turn away from the world we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, we catch inspired visions which show forth the earth of God's creating. Now, all of that will be covered in The New Horizon. Any place that Joel covers healing, he always brings that up. Turn away from what you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Go within Find your center. Feel, F-E-E-L, feel the divine presence. In healing work, we must turn from the structural universe we see. We must remember we are not called upon to heal it, to change it, to alter it, to correct it, or save it. We are first of all to realize that it exists only as illusion, as the false sense of life. And from this vantage point in consciousness, we behold through spiritual sense, spiritual discernment, the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So there's two things there. One is that the illusion is never external. That which you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is a series of concepts or universal beliefs, universal hypnotism in the human mind. And that is not real. That we must turn from and find a way to utilize spiritual discernment in order to feel the presence of God, the Christ presence. He says, in the Bible we meet with the characters Moses, Isaiah, Jesus, Paul, and we should realize that Moses represents the leader state of consciousness. Isaiah presents prophecy. Jesus shows forth the Messiah consciousness, or saving and healing grace. Paul carries the consciousness of messenger, preacher, or teacher. Always, however, it is the particular state of consciousness expressing itself and appearing to us as men. When we think of ourselves, let us forget our so-called humanhood, our human traits, and try to understand what we represent as consciousness, and then realize that that consciousness which is expressing itself as us is likewise maintaining and prospering us and our endeavors. Our task is to learn to relax and let our soul express itself. Yes, we are to live as beholders. To take no thought is to refrain from conscious thinking and let divine ideas fill our consciousness. This then is the essence of meditation. Refraining from conscious thinking. Don't reach out for that truth. Don't try to remember one. Conscious thinking is universal hypnotism. When it shows us a world we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. And so we refrain from that conscious thinking because it's not going to fix it. And let divine ideas fill our consciousness. We become receptive to the still small voice, to the spiritual impressions within. Since we are individual spiritual consciousness, we can always trust that consciousness to fulfill itself and its mission. We are the spectator or witness of this divine activity of life, expressing and fulfilling itself. You see, when you are a witness or a beholder, you are focused on spirit. When you are a conscious thinker, you're focused on sense impressions. More and more we must become the spectator or witness. We must become the beholder of life and its harmonies. Each morning, we should awaken with eagerness to watch the new day unfolding and revealing each hour new joys and victories. Several times a day, we should consciously realize that we are witnessing the revelation of life eternal, the unfolding of mind, capital M, and its infinite expression. Now, Joel said that if he could, he would go back and change that word mind to consciousness, capital C. So I'm going to read it that way from this point forward. We are witnessing the revelation of life eternal, the unfolding of consciousness and its infinite expression, the activity of spirit and its grand formations. In every situation of our daily experience, let us learn to stand in back of ourselves or stand to the side and see God at work. Witness the play of love upon our affairs. Watch God reveal himself in all those about us. Every night we should realize that our rest does not bring to a close God's activity in our experience, but that love is the protecting influence and substance of our rest, that consciousness is imparting its ideas to us even in sleep. That principle is the guiding law throughout the night. Nothing from without can enter consciousness to defile, and this truth stands guard at our mental portals to admit only reality and its harmonies. And so be a beholder, a witness. Watch the unveiling of Christ in your consciousness. And now I'll pause here. When you have the conscious awareness of the presence, when it is upon you, your conscious awareness of the presence is Christ consciousness. That's Christ consciousness. Now, he's given us direction here. He has said, each morning we should awaken and do this. He has said, several times a day we should consciously realize this. And every night we should realize this. So he's given us three directions for the morning, the day, and the night. Be a beholder, a witness. Watch the unveiling of Christ in your consciousness. Watch the unveiling of the conscious awareness of the presence. Now, he says, there is a constant warfare between the flesh and the spirit, and this will continue as long as we entertain any degree of corporeal sense. Well, that's a pretty heavy-duty line. It says that conflicts will continue as long as you entertain a corporeal sense of existence, a structural sense, a material sense. This is a spiritual universe, and you're standing in it, but you're seeing a material sense of universe, a material universe. So that's the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. Notice, or rather, the attempt to bring spirit and its laws to bear upon material concepts constitutes this war. and peace can only come when the structural sense of the universe and the corporeal sense of man has been overcome. Notice how often you try to apply some metaphysical truth to a human problem, and you will discover the reason for the conflict within you. Our goal actually is the attainment of spiritual harmony, rather than continuing in a material sense of existence with more ease or comfort. Do you do that? Do you find that you have an ache or a pain and immediately you reach for a metaphysical truth to apply to it? That's setting up the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. It is only as we continue in our spiritual studies and meditation that we eventually become aware of that inner conflict. We enjoy moments of mountain experiences. We tumble into the valley of uncertainty. We achieve victories and then experience failure. We alternate between apparent good and evil, success and failure, spirituality and mortality, health and illness. This is the inner conflict that becomes evident as the warfare between the flesh and the spirit. This will only end as we drop the mortal or corporeal sense and achieve the consciousness of spiritual existence. So, do you follow all that? This is not about applying truth so that you can increase your supply or pay your rent. This is not about applying truth so that you can get well or help your spouse to get well. This is not about applying truth so that you can find the right companion or so that you can have harmony in your relationships. All of that is trying to pull spirit down into mortal existence. So you're trying to pull spirit into the illusion, and it can't be done. You must forsake the illusion, at first in your meditation, later while walking around, but in your meditation, you forsake it. I drop it. Now, Father, reveal thyself and be receptive. Be a witness, a beholder. Stand still and see. And when you feel that presence, your conscious awareness of the presence is Christ consciousness. And it breaks the illusion. It melts the corporeal sense. My kingdom is not of this world, is the foundation for the building of the new and higher consciousness. The willingness and ability to look away from the human sense of person and thing and perceive the man and universe of God's creating is essential. How do you do that? We just said. The advancing student will gradually relinquish his attempts to improve humanhood or to improve beliefs in order that the truth of spiritual existence may unfold in his consciousness. Now, back here in the New Horizon, which we're going to look at, he explains that the experience doesn't come, the experience of beholding spiritual existence, that doesn't come until your desire to improve humanhood is dropped. It doesn't come in your meditation, and it doesn't come in your consciousness. The spiritual realm is the source of health, which is truly eternal harmony of being. It is a consciousness of supply without limits and gained without taking thought. Remember, however, we are not again connecting God or Spirit with the human sense of health and supply. We are rather coming into the awareness of spiritual health and spiritual supply. Heretofore, our efforts have been in the direction of manifesting greater harmony and dominion in our earthly affairs. That this consciousness of heavenly being seems to result in more harmonious human living is true. But these are the added things which follow the seeking of heaven and its righteousness. The heavenly sense of righteousness will be found to be far different than the human concept, and it is this higher sense of good we should seek. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For this reason, we are not attempting to think more or better human thoughts, nor to have our human ways made more smooth. We truly are seeking to learn God's thoughts and God's ways. At this state of unfoldment, we realize the need of dropping all concern for ourselves and for our own welfare. We are learning that concern for our personal welfare is building on sand, whereas a life devoted to the search for truth is a foundation of rock upon which we may build the eternal temple of life. We are now finding less of self, little s self, in our experience, and thereby making room for the revelation and unfoldment of our divine self, capital S. In this self, we discover our completeness and the infinity of our being. Here also, we discover the reason for our existence. Let's pause for a minute. I'm feeling the presence and I want to listen. God evolved the world and all that is therein. But what we behold through sense is not the world, but is the false finite concept of the world of God's creation, God's creating. So you're standing in the kingdom and you're seeing this world. And the change in consciousness must take place within. This is where the transformation is. This is where you come out from human concepts and stand in Christ consciousness revealed. Stand in God's creation. He who has found his inner self realizes that he is one with all men, animals, and things. He knows now that what affects one touches all. What blesses one blesses all. And he gives several scriptures. I will read this one. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. As we realize our unity or oneness with all creation, we become more loving, gentle, patient, understanding. then only are we fulfilling the great teaching of love thy neighbor as thyself. So he's saying here, only when you realize your oneness with all creation can you practice this love thy neighbor as thyself. You can't practice it as a human being. And then only are we glimpsing the kingdom of God, the temple not made with hands, the man and universe of God's creating. And then he goes on to talk about looking at the world and looking at the wars and wondering. Eventually the same question comes to each of us. Is there no power to stop this reign of evil, to halt wars, prevent famine and pestilence? Is man helpless before the four horsemen? The search for freedom from the trials and tribulations of human experience has begun. It is really a search for God, and it begins at whatever place in consciousness the individual may find himself. If he has a deep religious sense with a church background, he may seek the power in religious worship. The intellectual will undoubtedly seek the power in the realm of philosophy or in one or another of the philosophical religious teachings. In more recent times, the search may turn to the metaphysical or to yoga. Without a doubt, many go from one to another of these steps, still seeking God or the power, which may eventually halt the reign of mortality. And now he's going to describe what happens in your meditation, in your consciousness. Sometimes it happens when you're not meditating. I had a fellow tell me this happened to him while he was driving. One day, something happens within. Consciousness expands and sees that which before was invisible. One feels a glow of warmth, a presence never before known becomes tangible, very real. This often is a fleeting experience. One may not even be certain that it occurred. It lingers in memory, but more as a dream than as actuality, until it happens again. And this time more clearly, more definite, and perhaps lasting longer. Gradually there dawns in consciousness the realization of a presence always present. This presence may be felt as if lurking in the background of one's consciousness. At times it becomes a very commanding presence, dominating the scene or experience of the moment. Now that first happened to me in 1973, which is what, 50 years ago? And that presence has never left. And he's right. At times it becomes very commanding, very much in the forefront. At other times it lingers in the background. But it is always present. From that day to this, I have never walked alone. Wherever I am, God is, and I know it, because I feel it. It's the conscious awareness of the presence. It's Christ consciousness. And the same is true in you. If you have begun to experience it, you are experiencing Christ consciousness. Now, however, evil is becoming less real. Sickness is not so acute. Financial stress or even lack gradually gives way to sufficiency. concern for oneself disappears, as every need is met without taking thought, or planning, or worry, or fear. Desires become less acute. Fears evaporate. Assurance, confidence, alertness, keenness. These become evident not only to oneself, but to those who are met and dealt with in everyday life. This infinite way is all about being transformed by the renewing of the mind. From listening to human thoughts and being hypnotized by half of them, to standing still and taking no thought and receiving this conscious awareness of the presence, receiving Christ consciousness. This is the transformation that takes place within. And it is really happening for some of us. And if you will follow the directions in this little black book, it will happen to you. The inner presence has likewise become an inner power. From an occasional experience, it has become the constant awareness. Forces of pain and pleasure in the outer experience diminish, whereas one becomes conscious of inner powers, which are real, and which produce and govern the outer life harmoniously and fruitfully. There is no longer fear of the evils of the outer world, nor is there the intense pleasure in the happier things of the outer world. It is possible to have the pleasures of the world and enjoy them, or not to have them and not miss them. There is a constant joy within that needs no outside stimulus. In this consciousness, that's the consciousness that beholds the presence living your life, God is found to be the inner light. Or at least this light is felt as an emanation of God. God is felt as a divine presence or influence within. It is felt by those who come in contact with the man who has found his inner self. It is reflected in his health and success. It radiates from him as sunbeams radiate from the sun. In finding his inner life, this man has found peace, joy, harmony, security. Even in the midst of a failing world, he stands unmoved, untouched, the very presence of immortal being. Now, what does all this have to do with the nature of error? Well, He's spoken at length here on a structural sense of universe, which is only a series of concepts in the mind. Now, what do you do about this series of concepts? He has said, you must go within, stand still, be receptive, be listening. And when you receive the conscious awareness of the very presence of God, you have Christ consciousness and you become a beholder and you watch as it lives your life. You become the temple of God living. And that, of course, melts all error. When we are no longer limited by the five physical senses and have attained even a measure of spiritual perception, spiritual discernment, spiritual sense, or Christ consciousness, we find ourselves unlimited in terms of here or there, now or hereafter. There is a going in and a coming out without sense of time or space, an unfoldment without a degree, a realization without an object. I underline that because it's so important and it feels so pregnant. It's definitely a cone. What is a realization without an object? In this consciousness, finite sense disappears. And the vision is without boundaries. Life is seen and understood as unfettered form and limitless beauty. Even the wisdom of the ages is encompassed in a moment. Death disappears. It is the reality of immortality seen and understood. It is a vision of life without beginning and with no end. It is reality brought to light. In this consciousness, there are no physical barriers of time and space. I believe that's the third time he mentions that. And in the back, in the wisdoms, he says, if it takes place in time and space, it's not reality. You must search deeper. The vision encompasses the universe. It bridges time and eternity. It includes all being. In this consciousness, we see without the eye. We hear without the ear. We understand things not known before. Where we are, God is, because there is no longer separation or division. Here there are no rewards and no punishments. Harmony is, period. Life is not dependent on processes. We do not live by bread alone. I have the sense of peeking into heaven and seeing what mortal eyes were not meant to see. Spiritual sense is not engaged with human good. Yet this Christ consciousness, which is your awareness, your conscious awareness of the presence, reveals the harmony of being in what appears as our human experiences and in forms available to our present circumstances. Though my kingdom is not of this world, yet your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. But seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, if you haven't become still yet this morning, you need to get quiet, have a silence, before we delve into the new horizon. Let's do that now. Reveal thyself. Now, we enter the new horizon and the consciousness that revealed it. Joel said he was sleeping, and in the middle of the night he was awakened. And looking up at the ceiling, a scroll unfolded and dropped down before him. I believe it was red, and on the scroll was gold letters. And I think he said in Old English style. And that was the new horizon. So he jumped up and copied it down word for word. and it became this chapter at the back of the book. The New Horizon. Now, I underline the musts. There's three of them right off the bat. The sense, which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism or hypnotism which produces the entire dream of human existence. Sometimes I like to read these backwards to myself. The entire dream of human existence is produced by universal hypnotism. Human existence is an entire dream. It must be understood that there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. It must be realized that the entire human scene is hypnotic or mesmeric suggestion, and we must rise above the desire for even good human conditions. So we must understand there's no reality to good or evil. We must realize the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion. We must rise above the desire for good human conditions. Now, I know when you first came to the Infinite Way, or perhaps you still are, you were seeking good. You wanted your finances to be healed. You wanted your relationship to be okay. You wanted your health to recover. And so you sought spiritual help. And that was allowed, that was permitted in the beginning. But now, if you're listening to these talks and taking them seriously, you must do these musts. Understand fully that suggestion, belief, hypnotism is the substance or fabric, remember that word, fabric, of the whole mortal universe, and that human conditions of good and evil are dream pictures having no reality or permanence. So how do you understand fully? You take it into meditation until you see with spiritual discernment. You take it into meditation until you stop thinking about it and come to a place of silence in which you can feel this wonderful presence. It's cradling the left side of my face even now. You feel this wonderful presence. Then you understand fully. Ah, I've been looking at illusion, and all the time this presence was here. Be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. Now we can do the same with this sentence. In order that reality may be known, be willing for the harmonies and as well as the inharmonies to disappear. Above the sense life, there is a universe of spirit governed by love, peopled with children of God living in the household or temple of truth, the temple not made with hands. This world is real and permanent, eternal in the heavens. Its substance is eternal consciousness. In it there is no awareness of discords or even of temporary material good. The first glimpse of the soul realm, or the kingdom, comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporal conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism, and they are taking place inside, not outside. So, when you have the recognition and realization that all temporal conditions are products of self-hypnotism inside, and you stand still, you don't resist, you don't fight, the fabric is hypnotism. Then you have the first glimpse of reality. With the realization that the entire human scene, its good as well as its evil, is illusion, comes the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. Now, in this moment of uplifted consciousness, we are able, even though faintly, to see ourselves free of material, mortal, human, and legal laws. We behold ourselves separate and apart from the bondage of sense, and in a measure we glimpse the unlimited boundaries of eternal life and infinite consciousness. The fetters of finite existence begin to fall away. The price tags start to disappear. We no longer dwell in thought on human happiness or prosperity, nor is there any longer concern about human health or home. The wider, grander views coming into focus, the freedom of divine being is becoming apparent. The experience at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There is no attachment to this world and no desire to hold on to it, probably because, to a great extent, the experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. Now, that doesn't mean that you've become a goody-goody and somehow you've overcome these evil sins. It means you have risen above the need to have a material sense of good. It means you have lost the desire to improve your humanhood, to improve the structural universe, to improve your material world. At first, we cannot speak of it. There is a sense of, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended. I am still between the two worlds. Do not touch me or make me speak of it, because it may drag me back. Let me be free to rise, and then, when I am completely free of the mesmerism and all of its pictures, I will tell you of many things which eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. A universal hypnotism, mesmerism, binds us to earth, to temporal conditions. Realize this. Understand this. Because only through this understanding can we begin to lessen its hold upon us. The more fascinated we are with conditions of human good, oh, look at that new Tesla. I'd like to have one of those. Oh, if only I could have a house in the Caribbean or Caribbean. Oh, look at that vacation in Fiji. I want that. Oh, look at him, so strong. Wide, broad shoulders. Oh, look at her, she's beautiful. Look at that gold chain that baseball player is wearing. Look at that black one that sparkles. I want one. The more fascinated we are with conditions of human good, the greater our desire for even the good things of the flesh, the more intense is the illusion. In proportion as our thought dwells on God, on things of the Spirit, the greater freedom from limitation we are gaining. Think neither on the discords nor on the harmonies of this world. Let us not fear the evil nor love the good of human existence. In proportion as we accomplish this, is the mesmeric influence lessening in our experience. Earth ties begin to disappear. Shackles of limitation fall away. Erroneous conditions give place to spiritual harmony. Death gives way to eternal life. The first glimpse into the heaven of here and now, into the heaven in which you're standing, is the beginning of the ascension for us. This ascension is understood now as arising above the conditions and experiences of this world. Now, he said in the Truth Unveiled chapter in Beyond Words and Thoughts, the ascension is always the same, rising above mind into awareness. Here, he says, it's arising above the conditions and experiences of this world, and we behold the many mansions prepared for us in spiritual consciousness in the awareness of reality. We are not bound by the evidence of the senses, the physical senses. We are not limited to the visible supply. We are not circumscribed by visible bonds or bounds. We are not tied by visible concepts of time or space. Our good is flowing from the infinite invisible realm of a spirit, soul, to our immediate apprehension. Let us not judge of our good by the senses and the sense evidence. Out of the tremendous resources of our soul comes the instant awareness of all that we can utilize for abundant living. No good thing is withheld from us as we look above the physical evidence to the great invisible. Look up. Look up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I, the I of you, the I within you, this presence you become consciously aware of, this Christ, I am breaking the sense of limitation for you as an evidence of my presence and of my influence in your experience. I, the I of you, am in the midst of you, revealing the harmony and infinity of spiritual existence. I, the I of you, never a personal sense of I, never a person, but the I of you am ever with you. Look up. And we might as well press on and finish with the New Jerusalem. In this 2.5 pages, he describes the experience when he crossed over from the letter of truth to the spirit of truth. from human thinking to conscious awareness. And it's beautiful. The New Jerusalem. The former things have passed away, and all things are become new. Whereas I was blind, now I see, and not through a glass darkly, but face to face. Yes, even in my flesh I have seen God. The hills have rolled away, and there is no more horizon, but the light of heaven makes all things plain. Long have I sought thee, O Jerusalem, but only now have my pilgrim feet touched the soil of heaven. The waste places are no more. Fertile lands are before me, the like of which I have never dreamed. O truly, there shall be no night there. The glory of it shines as the noonday sun, and there is no need of light, for God is the light thereof. Now that's the experience when you transcend human beliefs, even human statements of truth, and come into the conscious awareness of the living presence. I sit down to rest. In the shade of the trees I rest, and find my peace in thee. Within thy grace is peace, O Lord. In the world I was weary. In thee I have found rest. Now, in the world of concepts, of human beliefs, of hypnotism, I was weary. But in thee, in the conscious awareness of the presence of God, in the conscious awareness of Spirit, I find rest. In the dense forest of words, I was lost. In the letter of truth was tiredness and fear. But in thy Spirit only is shade and water and rest. How far have I wandered from thy Spirit, O tender one and true? How far, how far? How deeply lost in the maze of words, words, words. But now am I returned, and in thy Spirit shall I ever find my life, my peace, my strength. Thy Spirit is the bread of life, finding which I shall never hunger. Thy Spirit is a wellspring of water, and drinking it I shall never thirst. As a weary wanderer, I have sought thee, and now my weariness is gone. Thy Spirit has formed a tent for me, and in its cool shade I linger, and peace fills my soul. Thy presence has filled me with peace. Thy love has placed before me a feast of spirit. Yea, thy Spirit is my resting place, an oasis in the desert of the letter of truth. In thee will I hide from the noise of the world of argument. In thy consciousness find surcease from the noisomeness of men's tongues. They divide thy garment, O Lord of peace. They quarrel over thy word, yea, until it becomes words, and no longer word. As a beggar have I sought the new heaven and the new earth, and thou hast made me heir of all. How shall I stand before thee but in silence? How shall I honor thee but in the meditation of mine heart? Praise and thanksgiving thou seekest not, but the understanding heart thou receivest. I will keep silent before thee. My soul and my spirit and my silence shall be thy dwelling place. Thy Spirit shall fill my meditation, and it shall make me and preserve me whole. O thou tender one and true, I am home in thee.